putting together a regular edition of Our State is a huge undertaking with your whole team, and you're out in the field. You're doing this months in advance and really carefully playing it out. But putting together an 80th anniversary issue, one issue, it must have been amazing.
Well, it was amazing. It was a massive undertaking. Yeah. Our June issue is 264 pages this year, so it really has a heft factor. We've been in the planning for the 80th anniversary issue now for a good long while.
How long is that, a good long while?
A good long while is we usually plan about a year in advance, sometimes a little bit more. So we've been thinking about the 80th anniversary issue for longer than a year. It's been a while for us.
As editor-in-chief, what's the biggest challenge in coordinating an event like this, an issue of this, you know, magnitude?
All right. Well, you know, our state has 80 years of history and fantastic stories under its belt. And I think the biggest challenge is, how do you tell these stories of this state and keep them fresh and keep them interesting and keep readers excited about everything wonderful that goes on around here? The 80th anniversary, the biggest challenge we had was we put together a 20-some page photo essay that was devoted to our state's old covers. You know, we've produced, our state was a weekly when it first started in 1933. So, you know, we've put out 2,100 and some covers. So you can imagine the challenge in going through that many covers to decide what you want to use in a photo essay, where you kind of take readers back through time all the way through from our origins.
And what strikes me looking at this, our state famous for beautiful photography mixed with great writing,
right.
And that's always the standard, but the creative ways in which you're able to take that on in a way that it really struck me as seamless. Describe the process of bringing those old magazine titles into 2013 in a way that's really artful.
Exactly. Well, you know, I mean, you kind of think about the mission of the magazine, which is to bring this state into a different dimension for readers. You want to add a bit of dimensionality, if that's a word, to readers' lives. And our photo essay really kind of recreates that concept of dimension in print. Our associate art director, Joseph Edwards, had this great idea that he would take these old covers and physically cut them with an X-Acto knife, you know, kind of old school art direction work that you don't do anymore. You know, things are photoshopped now and computer manipulated. But this was not that. He took a look at a selection of, oh my gosh, he must have gone through more than 1,000 covers to decide what he would choose to cut. It's just kind of a crazy concept to think you would take a knife and cut pieces of a cover out so that you could create a three-dimensional model. You know, it's sort of hard to describe, but if you can imagine what a pop-up book looks like, it's sort of like that. And so, for instance, he took a cover that was from the early 80s of the Cape Hatteras Lighthouse, and he cut around the Cape Hatteras Lighthouse into the picture and then popped that image up. We took it into a studio. We shot the photo and the cover so that the effect is that these images are just coming right off the page. It really causes you to look at these pictures for a long time, and it sort of forces you to just see things in a way that you'd never thought about them before, which kind of is the point of Our State magazine.
Well, and the temporal shift is what kind of struck me as well, Elizabeth, because it brings the past into the present in a way that you can't deny it. It's kind of an exciting interaction going on there.
Exactly. We've got so many great covers to choose from, and, you know, everything from, we did an issue devoted to the Carolina cheeseburger, you know, a while back, and so that's one of the images that we cut around and you know, kind of just popped it up into a third dimension, and it really has this effect of making you feel like you could just reach out and grab this, you know, extraordinary cheeseburger all the way and put it in your mouth. You know, we did a cover probably about 40 years ago or so of these elderly men that were in front of a general store playing checkers, and the effect of that is just extraordinary. You feel like you have just been placed in the middle of a picture where you're right there with these men. It's just an amazing effect, and I've frankly never seen anything like this in any other magazine, really ever. And we've looked at a lot of anniversary issues for perspective, just to get a sense of what other magazines had done and would do. You know, we knew we wanted to just showcase a range of covers throughout our history, and we tried to find a way to do it that was really fresh and kind of modern, but still let you celebrate the past.
And that's just, we're just talking about the visual representation of this, and we're going to dive into content, the stories, the great writing behind it. But literally cutting edge, given the technology. And that group of old men playing checkers there, that's the covers from a July 15th, 1971 issue. And yet here are these three gentlemen, as you say, at the country store. It looks like they're right in our living room today. What a great effect that is. As always for me, Elizabeth, I mean, when I do look through the magazine, the stories that you all select, and I know you have a big part in that as editor-in-chief, are things that interest me. And this issue, no exception, the timeliness of it, perfect, because this time of year people are thinking vacations, they're thinking of camping, and you cover that. Our state is just amazing along those lines, beginning with camps and camping.
Right. Well, it's June, so it's camp season. So many people in North Carolina have got wonderful associations of childhood camp experiences. You know, you pack off, you get your trunk ready, you go off to camp. And we really wanted to kind of pay tribute to the concept of camping, the idea of camping in this state. You know, the mountains has a huge concentration of summer camps. I think they're in excess of 300 summer camps that are located in the mountains. And, of course, scattered all over. We opened the camps package with a fantastic story by the novelist Susan Kelly. She lives in Greensboro. She's written 5 books. She's really extraordinary, and she's from Rutherfordton and remembers what it was like to go off to a camp when she was a child. And so she wrote a first-person essay about that camp experience that, you know, just really resonates even now. I mean, you imagine kids change, but they don't really. And the camp experience, just, you know, packing up, going away from home for a little while, being outside, jumping in a swimming hole, all of that has stayed the same for 60 years and more in some of these cases. We've profiled camps that have been around that kind of match our state's history, that have an 80-year history behind their belt. We've got Camp Haines profiled in this issue, which is, you know, right here in this area, and Camp Seafair and out on the coast. It's really a great feature package that'll kind of make you nostalgic for camp days. I would like to go myself.
I'm looking at this over here at Camp Haines and a 1930s shot of some girls and boys lined up at and then Camp Seafair below. You know, the time passes, but like you say, things pretty much stay the same.
Exactly. And you know what strikes me at looking at these old pictures that we used in the issue is how happy everybody looks. You know, the kids from the 30s and the 40s, you can imagine what a rough time it was in the 30s. You know, this magazine started in 1933. It was the height of the Depression. And, you know, even in our story about the camp experience, everybody just genuinely looks happy. And I like that. I like that comes through in our pages. It did then, and it's still does now.
Yeah. And what summer issue would be complete without a focus on the food? And we all look forward to that.
Exactly.
That campfire experience. And one item on the menu in particular that I always enjoy, the s'more.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Kind of, you know, the classic summer staple. We've got a great piece by a food writer and James Beard nominee writer, Kelly Alexander. She wrote a story called How to Build a Better S'more. So you'll be prepared for summer or for your backyard, however you choose to do it.
Yeah. The combination of whimsy, in the case of the s'more, you can't deny that, with this really thoughtful way of organization, Elizabeth, is so great about this annual issue. And I love the way, remind me the title of the article, where it begins with a word or phrase and kind of morphs off into the way you would search on Google.
Exactly. Well, again, with our anniversary issue stories, you know, we really just kind of wanted to do a deep dive down into North Carolina's past and present. So we put together a long form piece, a really great story written by a Chapel Hill writer named Jason Smith, and it's about a book that came out a few years ago called The Encyclopedia of North Carolina, which really is the definitive, you know, tome. There's no other way to describe this massive book. It is an encyclopedia that is devoted to everything you could ever possibly want to know about North Carolina. Well, our idea was to, as you search for anything, you know, in life, if you're online or if you even just pick up a dictionary and you type in something or you look up one word, it sort of leads you down this rabbit hole of exploration. You know, one thing leads you to another thing. And And so we set a story up like this. We said, wouldn't it be fun if we just kind of randomly opened this encyclopedia, this, you know, massive 1,000-page book, and just picked a word at random and see, you know, just see where it takes you, just see where we can go in building a story. And so we did that. We started with a word called the wampus. If anybody knows what a wampus is, it's a mythical creature that may or may not live in North Carolina. And our writer started from there and just built this really lyrical and amazing story that kind of just jumps you through North Carolina's past and present. And, you know, you learn everything. Did you know we had a salt commissioner? Evidently, salt was such an important commodity in the state way back in the day that we created a salt commissioner position. It's crazy things in there. It's a fun story, and it's an interesting way to look at North Carolina's history.
The author of the book is William Powell.
William Powell, kind of a definitive North Carolina historian at UNC.
So we go off in these little tangents, and mm-hmm. we follow words, and we look at amazing images. But at the basis of this magazine, like any great magazine, is amazing writing.
Absolutely.
And I guess no exception here is Kelly Alexander and the way she presents this information.
Exactly. Kelly Alexander, who has an extraordinary writing background. She was an editor at Sever Magazine and Food and Wine. She teaches food writing at Duke University. She's mm-hmm. James Beard a winner. The writing in Iowa State Magazine really, to me, is what makes it. You know, Jason Smith, who wrote one of our stories. He's an exceptional writer in the Carrboro, Chapel Hill area. Have a piece about our founder, Carl Gerch, written by Tom Maxwell, who has written for Southern Cultures and is an extraordinary writer and also a musician. He was in a band called the Squirrel Nut Zippers, which had a had a pretty big heyday. A lot of talent.
Squirrel Nut Zippers.
Yeah.
I like that one. But there's also the mix of the two. It's great writing, and then the way it's presented in terms of the visual element, the photography, and the Gerch tribute, no exception, because that effect, that, and maybe we can create this
right.
little radio magic,
yeah.
that kind of Wizard Oz effect,
yeah.
when it's done artfully, so powerful.
Exactly. We, you know, this is the 80th anniversary issue, so we wanted to tell a story about our founding, and we decided to do it in kind of an unusual way. The magazine was started in 1933, interestingly, by a fellow from New York. You don't think about a Southern magazine having been created by a New Yorker, but that's exactly what happened. Carl Gerch was a newspaper reporter living in New York. He kind of got this wild hair that he wanted to see a little bit more of the world, took out an ad in a trade journal that just said wanted a job as a reporter. Can you imagine trying to get a job that way now? And a little newspaper in Little Washington, which is in eastern North Carolina, hired him. I'm not sure Carl Gerch even had any idea where Little Washington was. He might have thought he was going to Washington, D.C. But in any case, he came from New York, moved down here sight unseen to Little Washington, worked at a newspaper out there for a little while, moved over to a New Bern newspaper, and then just decided that he had fallen in love with this state. He never went back. He lived, you know, here until he died. Loved it here so much, he wanted to create a magazine that would really cause everybody to fall in love with this state the way that he had. So he moved to Raleigh in the 30s and decided to create this magazine that he named The State. And it was going to be just this exploration of North Carolina. His tagline was to make people appreciative of the state they lived in by becoming acquainted with it. So really, it's kind of the idea, to know me is to love me. So that's what he did. Height of the Depression, 1933, starts a magazine. And, you know, the way he generated his stories and the way he came up with his content was he really traveled. He went all over the state. He went everywhere. He put 2,000 miles on his car in 1 year, which doesn't seem like a lot until you realize there was no state highway system in place. So he's traveling around on, you know, essentially dirt roads and no roads. He got himself a little biplane. He flew all over the state. The funny stories I've heard is he would just touch down in somebody's field, you know, just a random field where he would see that he could make a landing. Wouldn't know who lived there. And somebody would come running out, you know, what are you doing in my field? But he would strike up a conversation. And of course, everybody has a story. So, you know, we kind of wanted to recreate Carl Gerch's footsteps around the state. So we sent a writer and a photographer. In fact, our photographer rented a plane and recreated the Carl Gerch experience. We retell a story, you know, called Carl Gerch's North Carolina, to take you through what life was like when he was here. We photographed his favorite places in the state. He loved Ocracoke. I think that probably was one of his favorite places in the state, Ocracoke at the Outer Banks. So we flew a plane into Ocracoke. We landed where he would have landed. We took photographs. And the effect is we ran the picture in black and white and let it morph into color across the page, across the spread. So you really kind of get this sense of Carl Gerch's black and white North Carolina that fades beautifully, seamlessly into vibrant color. And you can kind of just get the sense of what the experience might have been like had you been with him.
And Carl Gerch's template, his method, really has withstood the test of time. That's exactly
yes.
how you approach this
That's exactly
magazine.
What I do today. That's right. I believe that, you know, you cannot discover the stories of this state if you are not out experiencing the stories of this state. And it's exactly how Carl Gerch worked and how he built this magazine, and it is exactly how we carry through today.
And you can participate and celebrate 80 years of Our State Magazine
Absolutely.
Together. You can join. In fact, you'll be there chatting
yeah,
it up as well. You can give
right.
a talk.
That's right. We're going to have a huge celebration on June 8th at the Museum of History in Raleigh, the North Carolina Museum of History, which is a fantastic place if you've never been. We selected that location because the entire first floor exhibit of the museum is devoted to North Carolina history. It's a wonderful exhibit that's interactive. So we'll be there to launch the anniversary issue. We'll be giving out magazines. We've got speakers. I'll be there. We've got a great band that'll play. We've got a potter who's set up to demonstrate some pottery. Dr. Elliot Engel, who is an amazing scholar and a wonderful storyteller himself, will give a presentation called 1933. Oh, what a year it was. It'll just really be a fun time.
Great. And kicking it off, Kicking Grass will
yeah,
be the bluegrass,
a little bluegrass band.
You can't have
It's
going to
be a party.
Well, and speaking of music, you know, this is a new one for me, and I guess a new one for you all as well, having a singer-songwriter competition presented by you all. How did that get off the ground?
Well, that's something we had never done in the history of this magazine either. But, you know, there is such talent in this state. I mean, this is a musical state. We have so much amazing diversity of music here. And we decided, why not ask people if they would be interested in creating an original song that's a North Carolina song? You know, what is the definitive North Carolina song? I don't know that we had one. And so we put the call out to singer-songwriters to enter our songwriting competition. We got almost 300 entries. It was just an outpouring of just professional music, just amazing music. Our winner was a guy named Aaron Burdett from Saluda. His song, Going Home to Carolina, hands down was the judge's choice. It's just an amazing song that you'll be singing it all day.
Well, let's check it out.
All right.